Chapter 17. Negotiation Staff Who to Bring.
All right, Lily. We've been getting a good product and excellent service from our regular supplier. Why should we buy from you? The reason you go to a negotiation is because you're unwilling to accept the price asked, and you believe it's possible to do better. That means you're there to win. Never go to a negotiation before you learn everything you can about who you're dealing with. Only then will you know who to bring.
If you're meeting with a new buyer or source, you should call around to your competitor and ask them if they've ever had dealings with them. The odds are someone in the area you know has dealt with them before, and they are usually happy to fill you in on what they're like.
If you can't find out what they're like from someone in the area, you can try checking with old contacts in the same area as your new one. It's very seldom you can't find out anything about a new business contact if you put a little effort into it. It's also a bad sign about the contact if you can't find out anything about them, unless they're a new company.
If the word is they're sweethearts to work with, you should be okay with a minimal team. Maybe a single representative is enough. However, if the word is bad, or if you can't find out anything on the new company, the safest thing is to prepare for the worst. Show up at the meeting loaded for bear, but how much you ring is up to you and your budget. When negotiating a deal between old friends, you don't need any coaching from me. Aside from the idiom definitions in the companion volume to this book, which should come in handy. However, if you're expecting things to get hot, you'll need the information in here.
That's about as bad as it can get. If you choose the smart defense, you should bring the right people. You're going to need a world of information at your fingertips, but you're also going to have to pay to get and keep them there. If the meeting is across town, then the expenses are no big deal. If it's across the ocean, then you want to get the best bang for your buck. You need the most information you can get crammed into the fewest people possible. True, these are giveaway chips the other side doesn't expect to win, but that's not the point. You're being tested. And how well you do will determine how they treat you later on.
If you stand your ground in the meeting, you'll greatly increase their opinion of you, and they'll be less likely to try to trick you. If you check with your office for answers to most questions, they won't respect you or the company that sent you. If you show up with the answers in yourself, or a team of experts ready to answer every demand with solid information, they'll respect you and your company.
If you're attending a sales meeting, it doesn't matter which side of the deal you're on. You'll need the background information on both companies and the product. You'll need to know about other similar products, their reliability, availability, and price. Also, you need to have reasons for why you're dealing with them and not the others. Remember, it doesn't have to be true, just believable. If you're selling them a product, the most important information you'll need is a comprehensive market study for the where they sell and what they will buy from you.
If one properly prepared man or woman is enough, then there's no reason to send more. I suggest assigning a team to gather the information and brief your representative before he or she leaves the office.
Showing up with a team of people is mostly an intimidation tactic. It's unnecessary, unless your intention is to impress or intimidate the other side. The team method is usually reserved for union contracts and political negotiations. For a sales meeting, two or three people are more than enough. The steamroller from a high-power team is ineffective against a well-prepared, confident man or woman.